Welcome to the Inventory Nation podcast, a show designed to bring you the incredible voices and stories of veterinary professionals coast to coast, all while helping you to manage and control your inventory. I'm your host, Nicole Claussen, coach, advisor, and champion for veterinary teams and their inventory. Joining you live from the mountains of Montana, welcome to the show. Hello, welcome back to the Inventory Nation podcast. I am so excited that you're here. And today joining me is a very special guest. Today we have Amy St. Arnaud, who will be joining us to talk about some really important and relevant topics, in vet med right now. I think always, but especially right now. So Amy is a business partner in two full service veterinary clinics, the Community Pet Care Clinic in Ohio and Open Door Veterinary Care in North Carolina, that focus on really removing barriers to care and increasing access to veterinary services while still maintaining a net positive revenue. She has created a nonprofit mentorship training called Open Door Veterinary Collective for clinics that want to replicate their business model, including giving back through their revenue, providing incremental care, and creating strong community partnerships with human social services and animal nonprofits. So she has experience in mentoring from her time at ASPCA, Spay Neuter Alliance, where she helped develop 6 training programs that mentored over 170 plus clinics to open that perform 1.5 million spay or neuter surgeries annually. That's incredible. And trained over 1,000 veterinary professionals annually in efficient spay and neuter techniques to help more dogs and cats. Welcome, Amy. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you. I feel like that was a mouthful. Thank you.
Oh. I just love the opportunity to, we have some of the coolest people in vet med. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Well, thank you. You are definitely one of those. I have learned so much from you personally on inventory. So I'm super excited to join you here.
Oh, thank you so much. So tell us your story. How did you get started in vet med? What kind of like led you here basically?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to help animals from an early age, but I also knew that I was bad at math, hated needles and blood. So being a better tech, which was my first dream, probably wasn't in the cards. So I figured there had to be other ways to help. And so I started working at a local animal shelter, and then I worked for some national animal organizations like the ASPCA. And that led me to start a nonprofit spay-neuter clinic that performed 19,000 spays and neuters a year. And I now co-own those two private practices and have the nonprofit Open Door Veterinary Collective. And so I always tell people there's lots of ways to help animals, even if your original dream doesn't pan out.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think a lot of times when we think about, you know, like working in a vet practice, you either like have to be a doctor, you have to be a technician, you have to be a receptionist, but there's so many other avenues out there. And I think, you know, I find that the kind of rings true for myself where like, I love the patients. I love building and connecting with other clients and kind of like building those relationships. But yeah. I also really like the organizational and the operational aspects as well. So
me too. I love both sides of that. So I like to be involved, but I also like thinking the big picture of what can we do to always be making vet med better.
Totally. Yes. So if you're listening, there is absolutely no shame if you're like, you know what? I don't know if being part of the patient care team 100% is right for me. There's no shame in that. There's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah. First time I saw, what are those things called? Warbles come out of the little cat. I about passed out and I thought, okay, no direct care for me, but I'll find another way.
Yeah. Those things are just foul. Yes. Just totally foul.
My staff loves them. They like to keep little jars of ticks and warbles or anything. That's how you know what a true, true vet tech or a vet is when they're really into it. That was not me.
Yeah. I actually have, I have like a mild case of tryptophobia, so I cannot, there's like a couple things that I like cannot handle. And that is one of them. I'm like, nope, I cannot see holes. So I don't know if tryptophobia is like the fear of holes. It's just a weird,
interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, it's very strange. Like I can't, I have like a really hard time looking at like, especially like patterns or some like, it's just very strange. I'm like, I don't know why this is a thing for me, but it is.
Hey, we all have our things. Or multiple things.
Yes. So I'm really curious to know what was kind of like your why and driving force behind starting, you know, the Open Door Veterinary Collective and really kind of like what led you to become passionate about kind of removing those barriers to care?
Well, I kept hearing about people having to make these heartbreaking decisions because they couldn't afford the cost of care. So either their pets were going without care, they either were being surrendered to an animal shelter, which are already overcrowded, or they were being euthanized at vet clinics. And so I see in response to this, a lot of vets are trying to discount or give away their services because they care, but this isn't sustainable for them. And none of these options felt good to me, knowing the bond people have with their pets and just knowing how hard this is on the vet team. So, you know, we were seeing people be told, if you can't afford a pet, don't have one. And if you're a vet practice and you don't offer care for free or discounted, you're a money-grubbing vet who only cares about money. And we felt like there had to be this solution. So that's why we said, let's see, is this possible? Let's test this. Can we create a business model with a private practice that can still not have to turn people away and increase access to care, but still get paid for their services? So myself and my business partners opened two practices, and we found we've been able to range anywhere from a 5% to a 20% net profit, depending on our staffing. And so that's when we said, all right, we want to try and share this out with others, because we want to help take away some of this pain that's in vet med right now, because the majority of it is around the cost of care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I feel like, I've seen, especially in the last couple of years, that there really is like such an odds against like pet parents and clients who are like, this is too expensive. You know, you charge way too much. And then vet clinics are like, we're barely making anything. Like we need, you know, so it's like, it's such a great time for this conversation. So what do you think some of those barriers are? And how do you really see it impacting not only clients, but veterinary teams as well? And I guess kind of like one of the bigger things I'm curious about is, when you kind of started this model, what was the impact and what did you kind of like notice and see change?
Well, and that's, I feel like telling clients that you can't help them because they have no money, it's one of the leading causes of burnout in the vet profession. And that's in all levels, because it's often the CSRs who are having to tell people that, and then or the vets or the techs in the treatment room. And it's so hard right now because 1 in 3 Americans have faced a challenge in paying for vet care. And there was this recent study by Forbes that said that 1/3 of pet owners, that a veterinary bill of $500 would force them into debt. So what we're finding is it's not just low-income people. It's more and more, it's becoming our clients who are regular clients who maybe always have followed our treatment recommendations previously, but now aren't able to. And this one study showed that practices have to deal with the situation around the conversation of money at least 10 times a month, but only 10% of practices have a written plan for how to serve clients who can't afford care. So I feel like we're seeing more and more where people are leaving the field, people are so burned out. And oftentimes it is about the money conversation. That's one of the biggest barriers. Yes, there's others. There's transportation, there's cultural, there's language, but cost, hands down, is the biggest barrier to care. And it's one that there actually are some solutions, but we just haven't really looked at them as a field. And so that's what we're really focused on, is what we can do to break down particularly that big barrier around cost.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, I just think about like my time. So I started in vet med as a CSR, And, you know, I started when I was 16. I was absolutely not equipped to handle the conversation, both not only from like a logistical standpoint of actually like communicating that with a client, but also like emotionally, because I feel like I'm such a helper and I want to help people so much that it's like not being able to like to say, oh, I'm so sorry, like, you know, payment is due or whatever, was like heartbreaking for me, especially as like a 16-year-old. So I totally empathize with so many. It's just a challenging conversation to have. And I feel like as many times as you have it, it still is heartbreaking. So I love, like, how can we kind of build a bridge so that not only we can make sure that patients are cared for, but our teams feel cared for as well.
Well, yeah, because nobody likes talking about money. It's so uncomfortable. But if we remove that stigma, we can make it so much easier.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's like kind of just a really uncomfortable conversation to have, even if it's like a positive conversation, you know, like, you know, how many times do you hear like, you know, these people who like win the lottery and they become like gazillionaires and they don't tell anyone?
Yes, absolutely. Because either way, good or bad, money conversations are hard to have. And that's why we really, the more we have them and the more people feel comfortable and the more we normalize having that conversation. And that's one of the things that I hope we'll delve into here too, is kind of how we've done that. So we've done this at our practice to really, so that every step of the way, people know they can have the conversation with us in our practice.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about that. How did you kind of like make this happen? What kind of like, what was your journey leading to that?
Well, and I kind of look at it as like inventory training, right? Like you have to first show people how it works, give them the tools to set up their system and to make it efficient and easy. And once you've got that system, it's so much easier. And so kind of the same thing about finances. Our first thing we had to do was determine what payment options we were going to offer. So we offer just, first of all, how people can pay. We've taken off that one sign that says payment due at time of service, because I feel like that is a very negative sign for people, that they shut down sometimes on listening to what you're saying and hearing what your treatment recommendation when they're worried about the money cost. And that's all they can think about. They can't even focus on what you're saying. So we right off the bat offer a variety. So we offer, you can pay by Venmo, PayPal, text to pay, Apple Pay. And then we have our pay over time financing options. And, you know, a lot of people in vet med think financing is bad. They think of the old payment plans and how you used to get burned. And this is not those. We're not talking about your mom's payment plans anymore. We're talking about, you know, you can finance TVs, cell phones, homes, clothes, even in inventory. You can pay over time when there's a special deal. You know, a lot of times they'll let you pay it off over 4 months, but we're still requiring everyone to pay up front at the time of service in vet med. So that was our first big thing, is what were we going to offer? And then once we determined that, making sure all staff were trained in how to have these conversations about money. And I know nobody likes role playing, but it really can help, because our CSRs are usually the ones who are having the most conversation about it. And you know, they're that first line of defense, and that can be really hard. And then our techs and our support staff. So the first thing we do is we have signs in our lobby. We have signs in our exam room, letting them know about our pay over time or financing options. And we also present right off the bat with our dental estimate. So if somebody is coming in to get a dental estimate, as soon as we present that, we give them the pay over time options so that they can see what's available. And we found that when we offer these options, people will more likely get the dental because they see they have 4 to 6 months to pay for it, or they'll get a year's worth of preventatives instead of 1 month, where there's more of a risk of them not complying because they can pay it off in 4 months. So it makes our staff happier, less stressed, because clients are following our recommendations and they get to provide the care they think is best for that pet. So we have wording everywhere. It's on our website. We have an entire page of ways to pay that talks about these financing options, and that we understand unexpected expenses come up. We have it on our new client forms, as well as posters up. The staff know to listen for financial cues. So even if someone doesn't say, but they're saying things like they lost their job or they're facing a health crisis, that they know to ask if they would like to hear about financing options. So we try to make it really comfortable and normalize that conversation. And what we found, and what's so great, is that these payment plans, we're not having to administer them and do them ourselves. We can decide if the person if we're going to extend that payment plan. But they're then handled by a third party. So that third party handles getting them, doing the payments, doing any collections. We just take a down payment for whatever we want and they handle it. And we actually, our nonprofit published a study looking at 6 years of payment plans and found that 95% of them are repaid. So that's a really great option to offer people. So and you can tell I'm excited. I'm going to shut up after this. But when our staff are trained to know what options we offer, then they can discuss the option that best fits our client's needs. So for instance, it might be scratch pay, might be vet billing. We might use our Stay Together fund, might be Verity. We use a spectrum of care approach in our treatment plans, and we figure out what's going to work best for people. So it gives our team options and they don't have to turn clients away and feel bad.
Yeah. That just like, it just seems, I don't know. I'm like excited, like secondhandly excited, because it just seems like it's such a great way to not only like lessen the stigma of like, oh, I can't pay for my vet bills from the client's perspective, but just giving them a wealth of options and resources to truly kind of make it a collaboration just feels very exciting to me, because it's not just a one-way conversation anymore. It feels like a true collaboration.
Yeah, it's back to that kind of that relationship, you know, the relationship-centered care where you're having those conversations together, what's important to them and what mm-hmm. can they do? Because we often find that if people are so focused on the cost and or the fact that maybe they can't afford this or it's going to be too much, then they aren't even hearing what you're saying about the treatment plan. And when they can be freed up from that worry, then they're more likely to say, oh, yes, let me get that blood work. Or, oh, yeah, it is time to do the dental. I'll do it, versus saying no. And a lot of times when people say no, we think that means they're a bad pet owner or they're not following our recommendation. But a lot of times it is because of that fear, that shame, that guilt of not being able to perform that care. And so mm-hmm. this really kind of alleviates that and helps you build this together. And that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be people who take advantage and who, you know, who do abuse the payment plans. Certainly that's going to happen, but it's a lot less. And we find that it just feels better all around for us to be able to say, yes, there's just nothing worse than when somebody comes in and you give them the price and they can't afford it. And you know, that pet's going to suffer. And it just breaks your heart as a professional when you have the ability to treat that animal and cost is the only thing standing in your way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It is really, it's a hard thing to kind of, to sit with for sure.
Well, we'll even use, you know, we'll also use our inventory in a way to support these efforts, because one of the things we do is we make sure we have an over-the-counter flea and tick med that we offer, one of those. We will, you know, find out particularly on chronic care issues for like diabetes, like where can people buy bulk and syringes, or where's the least expensive insulin, or, you know, we use the Freestyle Libre so they don't have to make as many trips to see us. So we're constantly looking for ways that not only through our pay over time options, but what can we do with just our own kind of services we offer, pricing and our plans to be able to work with people. And a lot of times it's just something like that can be really simple. So that's I guess the biggest thing that we hope people hear is that this doesn't have to be a big, hard thing to do. I mean, it may sound that way. Oh my gosh, I have to choose all these plans and I have to train everybody, but it actually takes us less time to go over these plans with people and to present this than it does to deal with when they can't afford the care. And then maybe we get a negative 1-star review and our entire team is up in arms, or we get bad social media, or you have to deal with where you're going to do with the client in the room who's crying. This actually takes us less time and just feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like I find it similar to inventory, right? Is you spend some time upfront to get it set up. You kind of like work through your systems, you set up your processes, and then it just pays off in dividends, not only from a financial perspective, but from just like a relationship aspect, from an emotional aspect, like so many different aspects pays off in dividends down the road.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many ways to do this too. And that's one of the things we've started doing is just a training specifically on how to set this up for teams. Because, you know, even just using like we have a Stay Together fund. And so, you know, we try to not have to discount or give our services away because our time is valuable and it costs a lot to run a vet clinic. But we also understand that from the client's perspective, costs have gone way up. So, you know, we really try to use these pay over time options, and we have a variety. Some have soft credit checks, some have hard credit checks, but we really try to have a variety that will meet people where they're at. But then our Stay Together Fund is our last resort. We take $1 from every healthy pet exam that we do, and we put that into our fund, and our team does little fundraisers throughout the year of things that they pick, they choose, like pumpkin decorating contests that people can vote with money for. And then that fund, our team has that money and they can use it when there's a case that maybe that person's gotten as far as they can. They've gotten 75% of the bill paid, but they just can't get that last percent. Then our team can use that Stay Together Fund. And it gives them an option that they feel really invested with that client of being able to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the name of that, the Stay Together Fund.
Yeah, we do too.
It's very cool. And I think that, you know, there is, I don't know, like what the best word for it is, but I kind of feel like there is this thing in vet med of like what we should do, you know, for example, like with pricing, it's like, oh, you know, only thinking for the same options of like, oh, you have credit card, you have, you know, check or cash. What do you want to choose? But I also see this like in pricing, because I feel like one of the questions that I get asked a lot is like, how should I price my things? Like, how should I price my services? How should I price my inventory? And I feel like it varies so greatly, you know, because it is such a deeply personal decision of how to price your services, how to price your inventory, and it varies so greatly. I also think, thinking about like the spectrum of care, I think about like the spectrum of pricing, right? On one side, you might have like, really inexpensive, like low margin, but you're seeing more high volume. And on the other side, you might have more boutique or concierge pricing. And, you know, it really comes down to their practice's values and goals and what's important to them and the clientele that they serve and just so many different factors. So I love the idea of kind of using the spectrum of care and thinking about, okay, what are some ways that we can really support our clients through, you know, these important financial discussions and decisions, but also how can we use like the spectrum of pricing to kind of vary that? And kind of like you mentioned earlier, like with the chronic meds, I think it often does a disservice to not only us in the practice, but also to our clients to have like one single flat markup across the board. Whereas maybe you might have like competitively shopped items that should be looked at differently, like chronic long-term meds might be looked at differently, and to kind of like, you know, think about that spectrum and, you know, come back to your goals and values as a practice and say like, what's important here? What do we want to you know, how do we want that to reflect in our financial options for clients, but also our pricing and our treatment plans?
Yes. That is so well said. That's exactly what we do is we do look at the highly competitive items. And then we call it our mission items. And those are kind of the chronic things. And that is, so like our Apoquil and our insulin, we price those down still where we're making money, but less because we know that those are going to be harder for people to do in long-term chronic issues. So we can make that up in other areas, but that's an important thing that we don't want people to be going without or to surrender their animal because they can't handle the chronic care. So, you know, I really think that pricing can be a really interesting way. I think it's not something we look at. I think we tend to just go with, we're slapping a 100% or 200% markup and call it a day. And I think there's a lot we can do with that that can really help people in terms of being able to get the care they need. And again, still make sure that we're covering our costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it also comes back to like knowing and understanding what your costs are. Because it's hard to make those decisions as far as like, what should we, you know, especially like services, like how should we price our services if you aren't really sure what your costs are? And so I think it's, you know, really important to become familiar, especially if you're in the management or operations role of some kind, and this is in your scope of responsibilities, but just become familiar and comfortable with, like, what are my labor costs? What are my facility costs? You know, what do those look like, so that when you are, right, because a large metropolitan area is likely going to have higher costs than maybe a more rural area. If you own the building versus if you rent, if you own the land, like, there's so many variables that goes into it. And so just becoming familiar with what your costs are and what that looks like before even, you know, having those pricing discussions can be very helpful.
Oh yeah. And you really helped us with that, because, you know, I didn't know exactly what my cost of goods should be. And so really learning from you on that, and we now have a budget spreadsheet that we share with groups we work with. And that's exactly what we do, is we have them write out all of their costs, really looking at those three categories of the labor, the fixed cost, and the cost of goods. But we figure everything out with them of what they need to make a day as a clinic revenue wise. Because then once we know that, we can start looking at their pricing. We can start looking at their revenue categories. We can start looking at what can we do to bring in more revenue here or there. And that's a big thing for our model as well, is because we are doing a spectrum of care approach and a spectrum of pricing. And because we're doing payment options, we also really look at our schedule. And we look at how we're using our staff and making sure we're using them to their fullest abilities, and that our techs are really allowed to be techs and our assistants are trained to their fullest. Because when you do that, that brings in more revenue. That keeps people happy as well. So there's a kind of a whole holistic approach, but each one of these can be broken down into steps so they aren't too much. But yeah, that's huge in this model.
Yes. And I love, you know, that you bring up the fact of, like, utilizing your vet techs and your assistants and, you know, just really utilizing everyone to their fullest capacity. Cause not only is that helpful from a financial perspective, but also it creates, you know, fulfillment in your role. I feel like there's nothing more, like, you know, I don't know if demoralizing is the right word, but, you know, like, going to school and, like, putting all this education and learning and doing all this stuff. And then, you know, maybe being used to, like, a quarter of your potential. Yes. Like, it's just so, like, what am I doing?
Exactly. I feel like there's such room. We still are not using techs to their fullest level. And there was one study I read that said that if you use each tech to their fullest capacity and their abilities, you could bring in another $90,000 a year. Well, think about what you could do with that. And so, yeah, our techs have their own appointments that they do with what's allowed by the law. And I think that the more we do this, the staff does, they aren't bored. They aren't just feeling like, well, you know, I mean, it really does help with burnout to have them feel like they're getting to do what they went to school for, and still managing the schedule so that it's not too overwhelming. But that's, I mean, all of these things are what really allow us to help people. Because when we look at the people we're helping, you know, there's the people who can afford the care. There, and there's the people who could afford the care, just not all up front. And they're the people who can pay over time. And then there's the people who are really struggling, and it's always going to be a struggle for them. But the way our model set up is that we can help each one of those groups, because we're doing all of these things together that support. And I think that's the best part, is that, you know, we're not having to, like we said, turn people away. And it's just, I think it's what we really have to start thinking about in VetMed, is if cost is the number one barrier, what are we going to do to address that? Because we can't just continue to discount. We can't continue to raise our prices. We've got to come up with something else. And this pay over time option is something we really need to look back into again. I really think it is the key to solving some of these problems.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that so many other companies and industries and areas are looking at this. You know, I just see like the pay in four and the, and like Afterpay and all these things that are kind of like allowing you to split things over time without it being like, you know, a huge rigmarole of, like, you know, applying for a new credit card or, like, taking out a loan. Like, they're just very easy options that we're seeing in a lot of other areas of industry, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So it's time for us to really start thinking about these and applying them, because we don't share out anything that we have not tried ourselves personally and have seen work. And we have seen these work in our practices and in the practices that we're consulting with. And I think that as more practices try to do this and becomes the norm, it's really going to help break this barrier.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. So how can practices start doing this? Like, how can they get started? What kind of what recommendations do you have for them?
I think first, take it one step at a time is the best way to do it. And I think just look at some of these options, do a demo with some of them. And if you contact us at opendoorconsults.org, we're happy to kind of walk you through some steps. We have one-on-one consultations available, and we actually do have a limited number of pro bono ones, so there'd be no cost. And then we also have an online course where people will be able to go through and learn about all these options and get an access to care certificate. That's coming out August 1st, and that's going to be with RACE accredited for 10 hours, and you're featured in it too, which is nice. So definitely contacting us, and we can help get people going on the path of what they need to do. But it really can be a simple thing, just taking one little piece at a time, and there can be standalones. You don't have to do all of this. If you literally are just like, hey, we'd like to try to add on one more pay over time option, we can help that. And I guarantee that you will be, if you do this, that you will enjoy it and you will find it's the right step for you.
Yes. Yeah. And I think one of the things, especially when you're like starting a new project and starting something new, is just to remember it doesn't have to like all be changed today or tomorrow or even yes. the next day, you know, and you can kind of do baby steps, you know, like I see kind of like the path forward is like, I mean, definitely check out the Open Door Veterinary Collective for help on this. But, you know, is looking at what are the different options and even just looking at some of the possibilities. Because I think sometimes when we get in the weeds of the day to day, it's kind of like, whoa, I can kind of like take a step back and like look at all of my options and say like, okay, where do I want to go with this? What is important for us as a clinic? What is important for us, for our clients? And that can help you kind of at least set the stage.
Yeah. And we actually find a lot of people just start out with one thing, like signing up for vet billing just for their employees, because a lot of times our employees are also ones who need pay over time options to pay for vet care, even though we get discounts. And so being able to have your employees manage that, so you're not having to track down all of your employees and track all that, get your employees set up on a pay over time option. And then from there, see how it works. You've worked out the kinks. Then add it on for your clients. And you don't have to offer it to everybody, because a lot of people, they go, if I offer this all at once, I'm not going to get paid. I'm going to be carrying a lot of my accounts receivable. But you can actually determine how and when you offer this. So there's all sorts of ways to do it. We can definitely work with groups to help them figure out what is their best option for them, because not everybody's ready to just go full out on it. Some want to start kind of with a soft opening, and that works great. You know, we want this to fit. The nicest part about using these tools is you can make them fit for whatever your practice needs. It's not just a one thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess just quickly, if folks haven't heard of vet billing, what is vet billing?
Oh, yeah. So there's a couple of different programs. So vet billing is a program that allows you to do pay over time and set it up so that they handle the collections and they handle the payment, but you get to decide how and when you give a financing plan to your clients. So it's really fully in your control, but they handle all of the details for you. So vet billing is one that we use frequently. There are some other ones out there as well, so we can help you figure out which one is best for you. But it's a nice option, because a lot of times if you use care credit or scratch pay, the company decides for you. And if the person's turned down, you don't have an option. With something like vet billing or Verity, that you get to decide if the client gets the financing and for how long and how much they put down.
Oh, that is really nice and helpful.
Yeah. So it's back to having that conversation and the relationship with the client.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So do you have any other resources or final words of wisdom that you want to offer folks who are really ready to kind of apply this to their own practices?
No, I think definitely just check out our website, can get you started. And it does have some links out to other resources as well, so you can kind of find everything we've talked about there. And we really just want to be able to get people figuring out what's right for their practice. And our goal is to see this be used across the country at as many practices as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll link all of the information in the show notes. So you can find that at vetlogic.co/podcast. You can find all the links there. And Amy, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed your conversation. And it was just really nice to hear about like all these different options. And it really kind of brings a sense of like hope and inspiration that like we can together kind of like solve this big barrier to care.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I love talking about this.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inventory Nation podcast and spending your time with me. I know your time is valuable and in short supply, so it truly is an honor. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review. Be sure to visit vetlogic.co/podcast to access the show notes and discover additional links and resources. See you next time.